Amen.
Love you too.
Let's give the Lord another hand of praise for Ken and Dennis and how wonderful and faithful they are as far as their belief. You know, knowing that God loves us and that he's there for us. And this is one of the things that is on the desire of our heart. You know, as we move forward to the new year, God has moved on us to actually give the message, the true gospel message of the kingdom of God and what is the kingdom of God and how even to get into the kingdom of God. But you have to ask yourself, before we even go any further, what are we doing here? I'm talking about not here in this facility. I'm not talking about here in this ministry. I'm talking about here on earth. You were born and you were brought here for what? Isn't that a question that the whole world is probably asking themselves? What the heck am I here for? What am I supposed to be doing? What the heck? I'm just trying to exist. I'm trying to find my way. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to just overcome. I'm just trying to get by. Isn't that like everybody's deal? If you really think about it, does anybody know why they're here? Does anybody have any idea what their purpose is? Does anybody have any idea what the heck is going on? Isn't that awesome? To be honest with you, if you don't know, you're right on. Nobody has the mind of God, for one. If we come to a sincerity and an understanding, there is a creator. If anybody denies the creator, they're just duped. They're fooled. They just have no concept of life, period. I feel bad for those who deny a higher power. I feel bad for those who deny the creator of our universe, the supernatural world, God. I really feel bad. And there are many out there that just have no concept. They're like, there is no God. There just is no God. And that's okay, because they'll come to a realization when they do move on that there is a God. But I hope and pray that those that are listening, and even those that say that there is no God, really connects to what is being said. When we were brought onto this earth, in the reality, we were once in that universal space. How many would agree with that? Okay? We were up there in that universal space. We could call it heaven for right now. For argument's sakes, we'll call it heaven. And we were up there in heaven. And we were kicked out. We were thrown out. We were thrown out of a place. We were literally thrown out. And if you're thrown out of a place where you know and you're secured and you're comfortable and you're thrown out, how's that make you feel? Lost, wouldn't you say? Confused. Not sure what direction we should be going. Most of the time when we're in this position of being lost and not knowing what direction we're going, we develop a lot of attributes. Fear, worry, anger. Think about it. How many people do you think right now are angry? And they probably don't even know why they're angry. Sometimes I'm angry. Sometimes I'm angry because I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Would you say that I'm still a little lost? Think about it. I want you to try to determine where you're at in life. Are you lost? Are you confused? Or are you found? And my purpose, and I know my purpose now, is to lead us back to home. To lead us back to this place where we once were. To lead us and guide us back to what I want to call the kingdom of God, or this palace or this place. And that place really does exist. It's not like we leave this earth and go back into the universe or we go back into the heavens, but this place literally exists in spirit, and it's life, and this life is eternal. It's forever, and that life actually lives within. Not many people understand this. Not many people can comprehend it because their mind is carnal. Their mind needs to come out of the box. You know, how easy is it to focus on the natural? You look around and you say to yourself, oh my God, what are we doing? You know, what's happening right now? What's going on? What's going on with my life? What if you lose a job? Right away we're thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do? What if you haven't made any sales? Oh my God, what am I going to do? Right away, we're lost again. I come to the realization the only way that we can come out of this place or come out of the residence or come out of the woods or come out of the, you know, lost dimension is to be connected with trust and love. And sometimes that's really difficult to come to because we feel all alone. You know, as I began to come into prayer and ask our guide, I want to use words that will take us out of religion, so to say, because we have listeners from all over the place that I've been speaking to, and they say, well, you say you're not a church. What are you? I hear this, and I hear that, and that, and this, and I say, well, you know what? Help me. Help me figure out what we are, because I can tell you one thing. I know the truth, and I know the way. Religion has a sense of conforming you to a certain way, when this is not what I'm trying to bring across. Us here in this ministry, our ministry, Glory to the Nations, is not here to bring this cookie cutter identification. It's for you to find the life that has been given to you from our Creator, from our God, so that you have a purpose and you're not lost. You know, I always said, if you're in the will of God, then it doesn't matter what you're doing. There's a peace and a joy and a happiness. How many people understand that? And really, all we're looking for is to have a life. The greatest gift is to have a life. And what really do you identify a life? How do you identify life? Is it a lot of toys? Is it a lot of, you know, fancy things? Is it clout or whatever you want to call it when you have some type of identification of something? You know, is it name, fortune, fame? Fame, that's what I was looking for, fame. Is it fame that gives you a life? Identity, does that give you a life? How do you determine what life is? You know, I determine life is, first of all, not feeling guilty, not feeling ashamed, feeling confident about who I am and what I've done so far in my life. If I conducted myself properly, am I doing the best I can do? How many people can understand and relate with that? Now, how about just joy? Being happy, having a sense of peace. Isn't that considered life? Isn't that considered life? And how about the most important that I want to think of is not being alone? Wouldn't that also consider having a life? Because when you're alone, do you really have a life? First of all, you don't have a life to share with. You know, you're still lost. Picture what it's like to be lost, all alone, not knowing where to go. Of course you're afraid. You can't say you're not afraid. You can't say that you know what's going on because you don't. You're lost. Well, that's where we're at. That is where the whole entire world is. And they're trying to say that they're not lost because they have purpose, they have this, they have that. But the reality is, we're lost. And we have to come to a place. We have to come to this place. And as I was meditating and I was in prayer, I was tapped into the heavens. And all of a sudden, I started to get a vision. And this vision was pretty much, I want to say, really funny. Because it began to show me, and I'm sure many of us already know this story, the Wizard of Oz. How many of us know the Wizard of Oz? It's an incredible story. I don't really like the end, because I think the end kind of mocks the truth. But the reality is that they were trying to find the city of the Emerald City. And they were on a path. And that path was the Yellow Brick Road. And if you look at the story of the Wizard of Oz, that's actually where we're at right now. We're lost, trying to find home. There's these magic slippers that they put on, and the Wicked Witch wants to steal those magic slippers. And those magic slippers were the ones that kept them on that golden path where she had to go off. And those golden slippers was referred to me as the gospel of peace. And as those slippers stayed on her feet, she was always on that golden path. But where was off to the side the Wicked Witch, right? And the Wicked Witch had its little monkeys, that flying creatures, those flying monkeys that were always coming against, trying to take her off that path or try to get those magic slippers. The enemy stealing your peace, trying to rob you from their peace. And then I saw the Good Witch, which I looked at that as the Holy Spirit, and the Good Witch was just trying to keep the girl on the path, you know, and trying to help her and guide her and, you know, and direct her. And the whole time she's on this path, she comes across and encounters, and one of the things that she came across was one who needed a brain. And I look at ourselves and say to ourselves, in order to find Emerald City, in order to find the kingdom of God, in order to find this home, this place where we're supposed to be coming from, where we're supposed to be returning to. Think about it. In the beginning of creation, we were kicked out of heaven. We were kicked out only to be redeemed back to our Creator, only to be redeemed back or come home. And then the importance is to really find now why we're on earth, because we're not going to be able to journey over and come to this place. I really truly believe earth is one of the most important places right now for us to find home, to find this change. Or there wouldn't be an urgency to get people, to get them to change the way they're thinking, to get them to have a new mind, the mind of Christ. And if you think about it, we were born with a mind that is naive and ignorant and not focused on the supernatural, not focused on the spiritual things. But what are we mostly concerned and focused on? This world. Yeah. This earth. The things of this earth, which are all going to fade away, all going to be destroyed. Nothing's ever going to last. It's always constantly changing, so you're never going to get the full answer. It's like, has anyone ever saw something and then they proved that that wasn't correct, and then they ended up rechanging the truth of it, so to say? And then they found out that that wasn't truly correct, and then they changed it again. So even the reality, which we think is reality, is going to change anyhow. But what doesn't change is the supernatural. That's life. That's eternal. That never changes. One of the things that we need to come to is a new mind. We have to. If we do not change our way of thinking, and if we focus on the carnal things of life, the things that we think are important. Yes, we need them, but who's going to provide them? You see? My understanding is if you were created, let's say kicked out and created, okay, God's love and his mercy is far beyond what we can comprehend or even imagine, okay? His desire is not one of us suffer, perish, or be destroyed. So it's almost like this. You got kicked out, you're off on a journey, and you don't even realize it, but you got a knapsack on your back that provides you all the necessary items for you to find your way back. You see? I truly believe that the life that was given to us to find our path back to home is inside of us. We have all the necessary tools, all the necessary knowledge, everything. And as we move forward, these things are given to us. It's a mystery. But in order to know this mystery, you got to take out the carnal mind and you have to put yourself in a spiritual mind. My question to you is, who are you? My greatest desire is that you would know who you are. You need to understand and know who you are. You are a spirit. You are a child of God, only to make it back to him. It's almost like God says, okay, I'm going to kick you all out, and then I want to see you come back. And if you come back, then you're proven. You're tested. If you come back, you're proven and you're tested. And now you're accepted for eternity. This is the gospel message. This is the message of the kingdom of God, where we need to come back to this place. And there are certain things that we need in order to come back to this place. For one, a new mind. How many would agree with me on this one? We need a new mind. Another thing is we need a new heart. Right now, our heart is hard. It's bitter. It's angry. It's full of pity. And we have to have this new heart. We have to have a heart of flesh. We have to get this heart of stone out and get a new heart. So if you look at the story of the Wizard of Oz, and they're going around, who did they find? They found the Tin Man who needed a brain, right? Or was he the one with the heart? Okay, who needed the brain? The Scarecrow, right? Okay, the Scarecrow needed the brain, and the Tin Man needed the heart. The next thing we need is courage. I want to look at courage as faith. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it takes a lot of courage to have faith. It takes a lot of courage to believe that everything's going to be okay. It takes a lot of courage to believe that there is a life for you. There's a life in us. We have all the necessary tools. We have all the necessary knowledge. We have all the necessary things to equip us to do what we need to do to get through to find Emerald City or to find the kingdom of God. What keeps us on the path is peace. That peace consists of many things. First of all, trusting, knowing who you are, believing. Believing so much in your heart to know that you know that you know that there is a love that is for us and that everything's going to be okay. When you have people in your life who love you and you're connected to them, does that add comfort? Think about it. If you didn't have anybody in your life and there wasn't any love around you, would you feel comforted? No. Love tends to cover that multitude of sin for some reason or another. And, you know, when you're not comforted, you feel dirty, you feel as though you did something wrong, you feel like, you know, nobody loves you, you know, and then you're falling back down into the pit, I call it. We got to just change the way we're thinking. In order for me to bring us to Emerald City, in order for me to bring us to the kingdom of God, in order for us to come back home, we have to begin to realize that we once were there. We were kicked out. How many of us, when we were younger, ever got kicked out of anything? Okay? We were apart. We got kicked out for some stupid reason. Maybe they just didn't like us for that moment, or we did something wrong or whatever. But we got kicked out. Or maybe we made a choice to leave, whatever it was. But then, don't you ever feel like you want to go back? Maybe I should go back. Maybe I should join in. Maybe I should, you know, come back to that place. I know it's in our heart that a lot of times when we were rejected, we tend to say to ourselves, you know what? I want to come back. I want to come back. I don't want to be rejected. It's not in our nature to be rejected. How many would agree with me on this? It's not our nature. And we were rejected. We were kicked out. And this is why most of us become sick. We become depressed. We have all these attributes of lack of peace, so to say. We have all these attributes of failure, all these attributes of not being able to survive. But we have to change. We have to come to a place of change. Look, we can come to a place of contentment. We fight, we end up giving up, and then we just sit ourselves down in the woods. You know, think about it. Put yourself in the wilderness, and you know, you got thrown out. In the beginning, you're like trying to find your way through. You can't find your way through, but then you end up dealing. You just end up accepting and dealing, and then you just kind of sit in the woods and do what you got to do, right? And then you just accept it. Never looking to ever get out, you actually adapt and accept the woods. I hope that's not where we're at today. I hope that's not where we're at in the church. I hope that's not where we're at, where those people truly are trying to accept, find God, truly trying to get a new life, and they just reach that point of accepting. Well, it is what it is, and I'm just going to accept where I'm at, and you know, and just deal. How many people understand where I'm coming from? That's a bad place to be, I'm going to tell you right now. That's a bad place to be because, for one, we have an eternal life. We really do. And that eternal life takes us on further than this earth. It's eternal. It goes on and on and on. Does anyone ever believe or comprehend that there is a life after death? That there is actually a life that will continue on? Or does we think that we're going to like be sleeping forever and ever? Or we're going to take on a new body or a new form and come back on earth to live as a flower or an animal or another human being? Or do we think that we're just going to be a spirit walking around the earth as a ghost? Think about it. Do you know that there are a lot of people who have conformed to those things that I just mentioned, and they don't realize that there is going to be another life that is going to be living in another dimension that has purpose? Do you believe that you have purpose after this life? So are we going to get caught up with this life and have our hearts torn and separated because things aren't going the way we want to go? How many times do we get upset and say we had a bad day? When sales aren't going the way they should be, or the money isn't happening the way it should be happening, or your things to do that day were interrupted. You know, when you begin to start changing the way you're thinking and you get a new mind, and the mind is a very powerful thing, I'm going to tell you right now. And if the mind is not changed and renewed, and you don't change the way you're thinking,
it's just going to continue to keep you in death. But if you can change the way you're thinking through truth, through knowledge, by saying to yourself that there is a comforter, there is a supreme higher being that cares and loves about you, and it's called God. Let's be real. The only word that we can come up with right now that we can all agree on is God. Wouldn't I get an amen on this one? Amen. Yeah. And that God cares about you so much that he has tomorrow taken care of. That he goes before you and fights off these monkeys that fly because the wicked witch wants to steal your peace. You see? He goes before us. But we don't believe that. We get all worried. How many of us get worried because we can't see tomorrow? Or our plans have been interrupted and we're not doing as well as we would like? Come on, let's be honest. We have to be broken free of this. You know, you have set plans in your thoughts, and this is what you want to do, and this is what you want to achieve, and this is how you want things done, and this is where you think you need to be. How many people are like that? Come on. I'm telling you what, honesty is the greatest policy. Honesty will deliver you and set you free. It's when you're deceived and you're duped. That's what keeps you in bondage. And we need to come to a place of repenting. We have to change the way we're thinking. We have to know who we are in order for us to move forward. We have to stand up and say, you know what? I am a child of this universe, of God, of this creator. How many can really say that in their heart? How many can really grab hold of this truth despite the things that we do? Let's say we're lazy in nature. Let's say we have no ambition. Let's say we condemn ourselves because we know that we should be doing this and our responsibilities should be this, but yet at the same time we want to do this. And we tend to do it, and we even get people mad at us for it. How many people have ever found themselves in that circumstance? But if we know who we are, can't we like rebuke that stuff and not put shame and guilt on ourselves? How many people have put shame and guilt on themselves because maybe they didn't conform to what others wanted them to do or say or what have you? I know with the holidays coming up, we're dealing with a lot of family, and family really wants you to do a lot of things, and you may not want to do them. Are you going to condemn yourself, or are you going to know who you are? Are you going to allow yourself to live a life in condemnation, or are you going to know who you are? Are you going to know that you are a child of God, and that there is a life that is inside of you, and we need to get on the path to lead to eternal life, to lead to a life? You know, we need to be able to connect with God. We need to connect with God and put away fear, because I'll tell you what, we have a lot of ambitions in our heart, a lot of desires, but fear causes us to go back to what we feel that we're secure with, that we feel comfortable with. And we gotta overcome fear. Fear is not a good place to be. Fear causes us to stumble and fall and go back. I knew a person that I loved dearly, and he made a big step in his life, a tremendous step. And he was following his heart. And he had such a desire to follow his heart. And I'm like, yeah, go, keep going. And then fear came on him. And then he's like, I got to go back. I said, what are you talking about? Keep walking forward. Keep walking forward. Keep going forward. I got to go back. It reminded me of Peter
when he had his eyes on, let's say, God, and he got out of the boat, got out of his comfort zone, got out of that place where he was comfortable, started walking on water, and then all of a sudden he took his eyes off, lost courage. And then as he took his eyes off and lost courage, he started sinking, started going back down, falling deep into the ocean. You know, in order for us to find the kingdom of God, in order to, for us to find life, remember what I said earlier. What are we here for? What's our purpose? We have a life, and that life we need to find. And in order to find that life, we have to renew our minds. The mind has to be renewed. You can't keep thinking the way we were born thinking. This is what it's about, becoming born again. This is what it truly means about becoming born again. It's not that you found salvation or something. It's about that you have taken a place in your heart to really say, I don't really know, and I need to change the way I'm thinking, and I need to start thinking a different way. I have to stop believing that I'm alone. I have to stop believing that if it doesn't happen, it's not going to get done. How many people feel that way? If it doesn't happen, it's not going to get done. We have a helper. It's called the Holy Spirit. We have someone to help us and guide us and lead us. We were booted out of that divine place to come here. But it's a mystery. We got a survival kit on our back. We got all the tools. We got everything to help us, guide us, lead us, but we just don't know. We think we're all alone. We think that, you know, no one understands. And we got to get out of that way of thinking and tap in really to the true love of God. God is the only one that's going to save us. God is the only one that can help us. God is the only one that can deliver us. God is the only one that can open up our blind eyes, our deaf ears, our lameness, and even to dead, being dead. Last week was a resurrectional week, I want to call it. And I believe that our eyes need to open up. But those eyes don't open up until we cry out. A broken, contrite heart is going to attract the ears of God. When we have lost all efforts and we are at a point where we can't do anything and we need this higher power, we need God, we need our Creator in our lives to help us, guide us, lead us, direct us. It's then when we can then find, I want to say, the kingdom of God. I use this analogy as, you know, the Wizard of Oz, and, you know, we're on a golden path, and those shoes are the gospel of peace, and, you know, the Wicked Witch of the West is trying to steal those shoes from us and rip our peace away, which is what keeps us on that golden path to lead us. And then to find a new mind, a new heart, and then courage. And I want to talk about courage right now, because when things get tough, we tend to crumble real quick. We tend to, you know, look, it's one thing to have a broken, contrite heart. And there's one thing to lift your eyes up and say, God, I need help. I need you to guide me. And then to surrender your life in his hands and say, not my will, but your will be done. I know that you have my best interest. Why? Because I'm a child of God. We have to know who we are. When my life was changed and I was ministering with the pastors here, I kept saying, my greatest desire is that we would know who we are. And when we come to that place of knowing who we are, we're not acting the way we are. We're not carrying on the way we are. We're walking with more of a positive disposition that everything's going to be okay.
and that we don't believe the lies that are around us. Everything's a lie. You know, I encourage Ken, and I know he's been alongside of me, and all those seeds that I planted in him is actually starting to take a harvest here. And I'm grateful that these things are beginning to be a reality in his life, that things are really a lie. And that nothing is really true other than what's in the Spirit. And the Spirit is life and everlasting life. Like when I hear bad news, I kind of laugh at it and say, that's not the will of God. That's not true. That's not true. You want to believe that lie? What you're seeing in the natural is not what I see in the heavenlies. What I see in the heavenlies is true. The natural is going to lie to us. The natural is going to deceive us. The natural is going to say there is no kingdom, there is no God. The natural is going to say, I'm all alone and I have to do this, and if I don't do this, it's not going to get done. The natural is going to keep lying to you to destroy your life. How many have ever gotten discouraged just because of how the day went? We got maybe bad news. Maybe we've come to a point where our finances didn't reach the levels that we wanted to, or our numbers didn't come out the way they should have came, or whatever negative things that came against the desires of your heart. I want to say that the desires of our heart, if we can really be true and know who we are, the desires of our heart is what the Spirit is saying to us now. And if we can grab hold of the desires of our heart and believe in who we are, that will begin to lead us and guide us and direct us to eternal life, to this kingdom. Now, I say that the kingdom of God is peace, joy, and righteousness. This place, the ingredients, is a life. Now, when we enter into this place, it accomplishes what the desire of your heart is. See, we don't know what the will of God is. Amen? We really don't know what the will of God is. We surrender for the will of God. We surrender and say, okay, not my will, but your will be done. But how many of us believe that God has our best interest in mind? That the end path leads to everlasting life. The end path leads to an eternal life. The end path leads to a life, a prosperous life. A life that is where we can testify the goodness of who he is. You know, that's how God is known, by your testimony. And through your testimony, his name is glorified and others get to know who he is through your testimony. And then as those others hear your testimony, hopefully they want this same in their own life. And they begin to follow and be led by the word of your testimony. We overcome by the word of our testimony. If it's not for your testimony, does God exist? If you really think about it. If it wasn't for your testimony, would God exist? I'm going to tell you the answer. No. Because he needs to do something supernatural, something that's far beyond what you can comprehend or imagine, something that's far beyond what you can do, and change circumstances. And what are those circumstances? 99.9% of those circumstances is the desires of your heart. So when you look at your life and you have a desire, and those desires are being stolen by the Wicked Witch of the West and their monkeys. And all of a sudden, you're crying out for God, and God comes and delivers you and sets you free. What are you doing? You're glorifying him. You're beginning to confess a name above everybody else's name. You begin to confess a power that is above your power. This is the design. This is the design of God. So when those things do come about in our lives and they go against the desires of your heart, I'm going to tell you right now, just lift your eyes up. Know who you are. Call for the Father of heaven. Call upon our Father in heaven because you're a son and a daughter of the living God. Lift your eyes up and begin to call upon his name so that he can come and deliver us and set us free so that you become a testimony and you exalt and glorify his name for others. This is the purpose. This is the reason. This is where we need to get onto the path for the kingdom of God. And as we begin to walk this path, it leads to eternal life. There is a life after death. And we need to come to this life. We need to come to an eternal life. And this life is now. You know, Ken testified where he wants the shadows to heal the sick. He wants God to work signs and wonders in his life. How many want that? See, you're already made up to glorify his name. You're already set up to be a vessel to let others know who God is. So you're chosen. You're chosen to be a testimony to reveal to the world God. I said before, God doesn't exist unless you reveal him. Through your life. You know, I have laid my life down to reveal him, to glorify his name. Now, don't you think that there's rewards for me after life, after death? See, God has rewards for you. He wants to reward you here on earth and also in heaven. Don't get caught up with the things of this world. Don't get caught up with the things of this world. Because the more you fuel negativity, the more you fuel that it's death and it's never going to work, the more you fuel it, guess what? You're getting your heart's desire. There's a thing about a mystery. And one of the mysteries is faith. Faith is a mystery. How many people understand faith is a mystery? Okay, it's supernatural, but it's true. It's a power. Faith is a power. Now, this faith can work either way. Faith isn't always good. We think faith is good. Well, if you in your heart are believing and manifesting a faith of it'll never work. Oh, it'll never work. It's destruction. Oh. Guess what? You're manifesting. It'll never work. You're bringing death. I have a testimony right here. One of my girls, Madeline. And I'll never forget this testimony. And I might have said it many times. You might hear it. My kids are going, yep. But my wife had a miscarriage. She lost the baby. She lost this one right here. And I went into my prayer. I went into my prayer room. And I lifted up to heaven and I said, God, how could this be? And literally an audible voice shaken to me and said, your heart was troubled. You told me you couldn't afford it. You told me that this was something that you're not ready for. So I gave you the desire of your heart. Wouldn't that freak you out? It freaked me out. I broke down and I started to weep. And I said, no! If you have given it to me, then I am capable and able to raise that child. please, give me her back. Give me the baby back. And shortly after that, Shelly began to say, something's wrong. I got to go to the doctors. Now, matter, this has been weeks since she went to the doctors the first time. And the doctor said she had a miscarriage. And it's been a couple of weeks. And she's like, I got to go back. And she went back, and the doctor was so perplexed. He says, you're pregnant. And not only are you pregnant, but you didn't lose the baby. You're pregnant the same amount of time as you were before. And here she is today. It's a testimony to glorify my Father in heaven. And you have a testimony too. You just need to lift up your eyes and call upon His name and repent and change the way we're thinking. If God has given it to you, He'll never give you more than you can handle. Know this. So it's just a matter of walking with Him, knowing that you can handle what comes up. And if you're not making the numbers and if the sales aren't coming in and maybe things aren't going the way you want them to go and your heart is hard and saddened, change the way we're thinking. Begin to have courage. Put your faith in that place of knowing who you are and lift your eyes up. Let's get on that golden path. That golden road that leads to eternal life. Let us get on that path together. Let us lift up our eyes and let's stop creating negative faith to where that negative faith destroys us. There's many verses in this book called the Holy Bible. There are many passages that when the child died, she said, no, all is well. How many know that one? There was a faith that was activated that didn't want to believe the lies and said, no, all is well. It's just today. All is well. And then that child was alive. I look at that as right here. That testimony right here. No, all is well. At first it wasn't. But then when the Lord said, I was only giving you your heart's desire. I'm going to tell you right now, we don't know. The lies cause our heart to fail. And we got to stop looking at the lies and begin to believe the desires of our heart. How many people are following me here today? Amen. And we got to stop giving power to the darkness. We have to stop giving power to the darkness so that we can rise up and know that we are children of God and walk with that character, walk with that disposition, and really cause our heart to change. When I was in prayer and the Lord began to show me the movie Wizard of Oz, you know, she was on that golden path. And she found the one who needed a new heart. She found the one who needed a new mind. And she found the one who needed courage. We need these in our lives. I hope and pray that our minds are renewed today. I truly believe time is short. How many people understand that it's time is short? Whether it's in our natural life or our spiritual life, time is short. You know, God can cut us off. There's words that were spoken. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. He gives them over to a debased mind. He gives them over to a debased mind. I mean, there are times where, you know, we could be cut off. Are we going to reach that point when God calls us and knocks on our door and then we get complacent and we just sit in the woods
saying, well, it is what it is. Never get ourselves out. Never lift our eyes up. How many of us ever felt that God let us down? This is the area where we really need to repent. Maybe he didn't let us down. Maybe he did the same thing to you as he did to me when he took my little child away. And I put myself in that place where I thought that I wasn't able to afford her and I couldn't handle it right now, all the things that were going on in my life. Until I changed the way I thought. Until I lifted my eyes up in heaven. And I began to say, Lord, no, if you have done this, then I can get through this with you. We can get through this. Please, bring me your will back. Not my will, but your will be back. Your will be done. I want our heads bowed for a moment. And we need to come to a place now to know, for one, you've been called. You've been called to come to the kingdom of God. You were called to come back home. You're on a journey, and this journey isn't just to be successful or have fame or what have you in this life, but this journey is to come back home. And if we come back home, yes, he'll fulfill the fame and the fortune and everything else that's in your heart, but you have to come home first. He'll make you reach your destiny, but we have to come home. And we need to call out and cry for a new mind, a new mind of Christ. He's the only one that opens up the blind eyes and the deaf ears and the dumb. He's the only one that does it. Let us not take salvation or a calling or a gift or a child of God as a common thing. But let us forsake our lives and begin to cry out for the new mind. And not only a new mind, a new heart. David said, rip out this stone of heart and put a heart of flesh in me. A lot of times we're angered and we have bitterness, resentfulness, and hatred. And we are angry tremendously. It causes us to do things we don't want to do. And then we have to repent with the new mind and apply our new heart and then have courage. Not my will, but your will be done. Is that the hardest that all of us can possibly say and do? So be it. If this is what's happening right now in my life, so be it. If this is what's going on right now in my life, so be it. And I guarantee, whether it's bad things that are happening and you say, so be it, and you walk away and you lift your eyes up, God will turn it around for the good to those who love him. So Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I know that we are all on that path, the yellow brick road. And yes, Lord, you know that that wicked witch and her monkeys are always coming against us, always trying to take those slippers away from us, the gospel of peace. But we have to resist and listen to that Holy Spirit. Listen so that we can be guided and led to that Emerald City, to that kingdom of God. Lord, I know those that are here and those that are listening have a hunger and a desire to seek after you, to have a new life, to accomplish great things. They have desires for this earth, and they have desires for afterlife.
Deliver us and set us free. Whether you don't fulfill the desires of our heart at this time, give us peace as we go through the storm. But let us come to renewing our minds, knowing that you turn all things around for the good to those who love us, to those who love you, Lord. So I'm asking, as we're seeking your face right now, I want us that have our heads bowed to be able to envision something that you want changed in your life right now. You're not happy with things. Certain things aren't going really the way you want them to go. It's causing trouble in your heart. I want you to have this vision right now, whatever it is, and you want God to fix or change. Hold on to it, because I'm going to give you a testimony. The Lord promised me when he called me. I said, I'm not going without you. I'm not going without you. And you need to do miracles, signs and wonders in the lives of those that hear me, that listen and hear your word. And he promised me, just as he promised he would bring back my little child, he promised me that I will walk with you if you be obedient and declare the word that I've given you. And I said yes. Despite if it offends, despite if it hurts, despite whatever persecution comes through any part or any area of my life, I said yes. So I know that God is faithful and just to deliver you. He's my deliverer. He's your deliverer. And he's going to deliver you right now, today. And if there is something, I want you to put that request in your heart right now. And he's going to read what is written on your heart. And he's going to set forth angels on our behalf and begin to take care of this situation. And he will bring it in right standings and right order. And it will get done. And it will happen. Now I need you to believe with me, so that there is no negative faith that comes against this word. And believe. And those who believe will be set free. There is nothing impossible for God. Nothing. And I feel as though that I was just interrupted by heaven. And he says to me, Jim, it doesn't matter if they don't believe, because I'm pulling this one off. I'm pulling this one off for you because of your love. I'm going to pull this one off. So I say, thank you. Thank you. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. Amen. Amen.